You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
The NBA draft is a week away, and the 76ers aren't the only team in the organization that will be affected.
We're meeting every day to kind of hammer out our board. It's very much a year-round process, but this month and this week particularly is kind of that whole process coming together.
Matt Lilly, general manager of the Delaware Bluecoats, talks about the draft and its impact on the G League. We'll also hear from sharpshooter Dylan Windler following his recent visit to the training complex.
Just trying to get that shot down, muscle memory, have the same exact shot every time, but then when it comes to game night, just shot selection, good shot selection, you know, shooting it with confidence.
It is the latest draft season edition of The Broadcast. Hello, 76ers pod people, and how are you doing? Brian Seltzer saying what's up as we get closer and closer to the draft. And I check in with another draft edition of our podcast. We're going to talk with Matt Lilly. He runs the Delaware Bluecoats. We'll speak about his role in the 76ers draft preparations. And we'll also talk with Dylan Windler. He is a four-year senior out of Belmont, trying to become just the second player ever from that Tennessee-based institution to make an NBA roster, and he'll recap his visit with the 76ers. Before we get started, I want to remind you, like we usually do, to subscribe to our pod if you are not yet a subscriber already. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spreaker, Stitcher, SoundCloud, TuneIn, all places you can go to get our pods. And if you'd prefer to go elsewhere, just type in Sixers Podcast Network, and that should take you to where you need to go. The gym at the 76ers training complex in Camden has been a busy, active gym in recent weeks. Really, ever since the Memorial Day weekend, the 76ers have been hosting pre-draft prospect workouts with six players each. Feels like just about every other day. It was really neat on Saturday over the weekend to have Phillip Booth and Eric Pascalin from Villanova to bring a local flavor to the competition on the court. But there have been prospects of varying degrees of experience, skill sets, being rolled in and out as they go through the pre-draft circuits over the last, I'd say, 14 to 20 days. A guy who seems interesting is Dylan Windler, at least to me. He is a native of Indianapolis, was one of the best high school players in recent history to come out of that area, such a hotbed for basketball. And he spent 4 years at Belmont with the Bruins in Tennessee and had an outstanding career, one in which he got better and better as the seasons went along. As a senior, he averaged just over 21 points per game and roughly 11 rebounds. He shot a very impressive 43% from the field while knocking down 103-pointers. And after a stop with the 76ers recently, I spoke with Dylan Windler about how his workout went.
It was a lot of fun. They started us off with some shots on the move, really got us going. And then we hopped right into one-on-one, three-on-three. We played for, 30, 40 minutes. It was super fast paced and very competitive. So it was a really good workout overall.
You put in four really solid growth years at Belmont, improved by the season. Being a four-year player, What advantages do you think that gives you coming into the draft?
I think just a little bit more experience. You know, I've played a couple more years than a lot of these guys. So just having that experience under my belt definitely helps me. I've played, 120, 160 games in college, so just having that experience for sure.
Where do you think you took your game the most in terms of areas that you expanded your skill set the last 4 years?
I'd say just, handling the rock and, being able to come off pick and rolls, be more versatile on offense, and being more than just a shooter, moving with and without the ball and, just trying to be a better defender.
I'm going to ask you about that notion of being more than a shooter in a couple seconds, but the shot is the shot. That's a lot of things that people focus on. How did you grow your shot over the course of your four seasons? Because if you look at it from an efficiency standpoint, the numbers went up.
Mm-hmm. I would just say, obviously, a lot of repetitions in the offseason, just trying to get that shot down, muscle memory, just have the same exact shot every time. But then when it comes to game night, just shot selection, good shot selection, and, shooting it with confidence.
Are there NBA shooters you admire, guys you try to pattern, model your game after?
I like to watch Gordon Hayward a lot. I like to take some stuff from James Harden. Obviously, he's a superstar and you can't do all the things he does, but just the way he moves a little bit is very intriguing. I try to model my game a little bit after that.
I'm sure you've talked about it a lot, but tell me about your journey to Belmont. You were a terrific player coming out of Indianapolis, one of the best breeding grounds for basketball in the country. And Belmont, how did you land there?
Yeah, so for me, it was a different journey. I played golf in the summer my first 2 years of high school, so I didn't play much AAU. I only played 1 year at AAU my last year of high school, so wasn't recruited very hard. I didn't get an offer till my senior year, and I got a lot of mid-major offers late, so I visited Belmont. I loved everything about it. I loved the coaching staff, loved the team. They had a winning tradition, and I loved everything about it, so I committed there, and I never looked back, and I think it was a great decision for me.
Is there anything that you can apply from playing golf to basketball or vice versa? Is there any overlap whatsoever?
Yeah, I think just the mental aspect of it, moving on to the next shot. Golf is definitely a mentally tasking sport, and you got to be able to, be mentally strong and just move on to the next shot. So it's kind of the same thing with basketball. When you miss a few shots, you just got to be able to move on to the next shot.
Belmont obviously has just one player in its history that made it to the NBA. To be the second to go from that school to the pros in the NBA, what would that mean to you?
It'd mean the world for me, for sure. Just being able to represent Belmont University. Obviously they've had a great basketball program for a long time with Coach Bird, so just being able to represent them and just all mid-majors, across the nation would be a really good feeling.
As you said a couple minutes ago, you feel like you're more than just a shooter. What are some of the other areas of your game that you have the most pride in?
Like I said, I'm trying to get better with the ball, coming off screens. I try to move really well without the ball, just stay moving on offense, all aspects. And then, one thing I'm trying to improve on is on the defensive end, just trying to grind it out every day, try to become more versatile, be able to switch screens and guard multiple positions. So that's something I'm working on. I got to get stronger, but, I'm getting there for sure.
What are your expectations for draft night?
I'm not trying to set too many expectations because I know draft night can be hectic. So I'm just trying to stay positive, do what I can in these workouts and let that, play itself out and just try to do everything that I can to put myself in the best position.
All right, Dylan, thanks so much.
Appreciate it.
Dylan Windler, an exceptionally efficient player out of Belmont, spent 4 years at the Tennessee-based school, put up some great numbers his final two seasons, both offensively and defensively. He paid a recent stop to the 76ers at the training complex for a pre-draft workout. We're going to speak with Matt Lilly, general manager of the Delaware Bluecoats, coming up. But first, I wanted to issue this reminder. If you are a person who is ages 5 to 17, you very well may be listening to this podcast, or if you are a parent of a child ages 5 to 17, 76ers basketball camps are starting soon, as in within the next week and a half at some locations throughout the Delaware Valley. Registration is open. Go to 76erscamps.com. 76ers Camps, presented by Rothman Orthopedics and powered by ESF, has been an institution in the area for over 30 years, and it's hosted over 110,000 campers, some of whom have gone on to become pros, both men and women, others who just have had a great summer spending time around 76ers players and highly qualified camp instructors. Campers from over 40 states, 50 countries have gone to 76ers basketball camps. It is designed to meet the needs and skills for players of all levels. It's 76erscamps.com to enroll now for day and overnight camps, which get underway in just a few short days. As we mentioned, just a few short days until the NBA draft next Thursday, June 20th, Barclays Center in Brooklyn. Someone who's been an integral part behind the scenes for the 76ers in preparing the organization for this year's draft, Matt Lilly. He's had his eye, of course, on prospects who can help at the NBA level, but as general manager of the Delaware Bluecoats, he's also checking out guys who could fit with his team in Wilmington come the fall, and he's also working with the front office on helping assemble this year's Summer League roster as well. So with that as the context, it was the reason why I wanted to sit down with Matt Lilly on this episode of the podcast. Matt, how you holding up? We are getting close.
Yeah, it is. Like you said, it's hard to believe that we're sitting here so close to the draft, but we're, you know, I'm holding up okay, and we're excited about Thursday night.
What's the tone like inside an NBA front office right around now?
Tone. I think we feel pretty good about where we are. I think at times this process gets a little bit hectic, where you know, there are dozens and dozens of players that that you're trying to sort through and kind of put together some sort of priority or ranking. But I think we feel good about the work that Vince Rosman and Mark Eversley and the whole scouting department has put in, you know, really the whole year round to put us here in position to have a pretty good feel for kind of where we have guys and have a plan for what we're hoping to do Thursday night.
My first inclination, whether I'm tweeting about something or writing about something this time of year when the draft workouts start to pick up, is to caption something like, business is picking up at the training complex. There's more pre-draft workouts. But is that really true? To me, it seems like certainly the more public-facing stuff is. Like, the workouts are things that we, as members of the media, we get to see. But is it really true, or is this an ongoing year-round process that's now at a culmination point?
I think some of both. I think it definitely is a year-round thing where we have a whole team of scouts that are on the road across the whole world, really, that are constantly watching guys. We've got some video guys here that are based here at the facility that are constantly turning through players and film and collecting intel. So it is certainly a year-round process, but I think this definitely is the culmination this month of June, where we've got, you know, six guys coming in every day to work out and get a first-hand look at. We've got our scouting meetings going on, where the scouts that are scattered all over are now here in Camden, and we're meeting every day to kind of hammer out our board. So like I said, it's some of both. It's very much a year-round process, but this month and this week particularly is kind of that whole process coming together.
Looking back over the last couple of weeks, probably 50-ish or so prospects, all said and done, are going to be passing through the doors here at the 76ers training complex. From your experience of being with the team for parts of four or five seasons now, what do you think the biggest value is to these workouts? And maybe not even a workout, just the fact that you get a guy in your own building on your own campus.
Sure. There are some guys where we may have a limited sample size of film or video or live exposures that this becomes important to be able to actually see them on the court and see them play. But for the most part, we've seen so much of most of these guys that more than anything, we want to get them in the building and get a touch point with our coaches on the floor working with them and sit them down and talk to them face-to-face to get to know them a little bit as people. So for the guys that we're familiar with to get to this point, to be in our building more than anything, we just want that touch point to have them, like you said, on campus here and see what we're about.
How valuable is being able to interface with some of the player development coaches working with these guys on the court, even someone like a Brett Brown, who I assume, I know we saw him the other day, pop in for a workout and observe guys? Just how does that add to the scouting and talent evaluation process, where during a year, if you're on the road, that sort of thing, there's not that type of dialogue or back and forth?
Yeah, I think it's good for us to see the guys and how they respond to coaching, and we're able to kind of put in some of the basic concepts that we employ here with the Sixers. Some defensive stuff, some offensive concepts, to see how they pick those up and how they respond to respond to coaching in what basically is a live practice setting, where we've got some drill work that we put them through. And our coaches, they're not just out there, running the thing. They're actually coaching and trying to teach. So I think there is definitely some value there in getting the players on the floor with our coaches, where we're trying to teach them and seeing how they respond firsthand.
The objective of any draft in any year, of course, is to add talent to the pipeline, to better position a franchise, to win and go after that ultimate prize, an NBA title. On the very primary level, that concerns the Philadelphia 76ers. But there's another part of that, which is the groundwork being laid in the G League level with the Delaware Bluecoats. That is your purview. Does that change how you look at these workouts? If you're wearing the lens of general manager of the Delaware Bluecoats versus what Elton Brand is looking for as general manager of the Philadelphia 76ers?
Not really, honestly. I think from top to bottom, really, we're just looking for good players. And for some guys, that's going to warrant consideration as a first-round pick, potentially. Some guys, it's a second-round pick. For some guys, it's going undrafted and going maybe the summer league route. So there's a spectrum, but really it's all the same work that our whole group here is putting in. We're trying to identify talent and identify people that we'd like to have in our program in one way or another, and ultimately how that happens, whether it's, like I said, first round pick, second round pick, whatever. That's kind of what we figure out on the back end. But more than anything, we're just here looking at all these players through the same lens and you know, trying to identify some guys that can help us.
That's interesting. So the criteria, regardless of where a guy falls, is essentially the same. There is a blueprint for the type of player the Philadelphia 76ers want in their organization.
Yes, absolutely. Top down.
What have you learned about putting together a roster, whether it's helping for the summer league or looking ahead to the G League season in the fall?
I've definitely learned a lot. I've been now in the G League for a few years now and now helping out with the summer league roster here. There are unique challenges, I think, particularly in the G League, where there's different mechanisms for us to acquire guys, and inevitably there's some amount of turnover that happens in our league, at the very least, with the two-way guys going back and forth, and then call-ups, injuries, buyouts, you know, the things that happen. So we try to put the rosters together together with versatility in mind, knowing that these changes are going to happen, and even in the summer league, there's going to be we're probably not going to have the same group game to game. So I think versatility is something that we put a premium on when we're putting all of these things together.
I feel like a common saying in professional sports is for an athlete who is out, whether it's on the court or the field or whatever it is, it's like you're, yes, playing for the team that you wear the uniform for, but there's also other sets of eyes from around the league who are keeping an eye on you. For me, summer league seems like that is really the case. You have guys who could be in flux after summer league where maybe something pops and it sticks in your brain, and when you're trying to put that team together for the following year, you might think back on what you saw at summer league.
Yeah, absolutely. I think from a G League perspective, for sure, there are a ton of guys that are coming to summer league trying to find their next opportunity, and best case scenario, obviously that next opportunity is NBA, but a lot of guys come to summer league and impress to the level where they find themselves in a G League team and hope to kind of parlay that into an NBA opportunity down the road.
I'm sure that after enough time you can look at a prospect and say, hey, this guy has this type of potential in the NBA. Can the same be said for now when you look at a guy, if he comes in the gym, you're like, man, that guy would be a great type of player to fit in the G League atmosphere and environment?
Yeah, I mean, I think whether it's NBA or G League, I think there are certain things that stand out right away. In a workout like this, you can see a guy's physical profile that maybe, has him suited to potentially step into an NBA game. A certain skill may stand out, whether it's shooting or defending or passing. So there are definitely things you can kind of pick out of these workout settings to identify as potential roster guys, whether that's Sixers or Bluecoats.
I'm totally going to give you license and authority to correct me if you think I'm wrong, but in the time that you've been with the 76ers organization, I feel like the G League itself has been on a very interesting timeline where there's been expansion, there's been upgrades in facilities, of course, in Wilmington with the Bluecoats, but also around the rest of the G League. Have you found, whether it's in talking with some of your players or in conversations with agents, when you mention the opportunity of playing in the G League, is there a difference in how that's perceived nowadays compared to even 4 years ago?
I think 100%. I started here in Delaware in 2015. I started in the G League in 2012. So I've been around long enough to kind of see how far this league has come and how much it's grown. I think just the quality of life, honestly, of a G League player is far and away the best it's ever been. I think when you look at our housing, our facilities, we just opened up 76ers Fieldhouse this year, and then just the opportunity. You see call-ups continue to rise and rise and rise every year, and now with the implementation of two-way contracts, I think the G League is probably as appealing of an option to a player as it's ever been.
For you guys specifically, last year it was a crazy year between the start of the season and so much of the schedule being front-loaded with road games. Then 76ers Fieldhouse opened specific to the Bluecoats. How did you find the Fieldhouse changed the game for you guys and the way you operate?
Well, first, it definitely was a challenge to start on the road like that, but we managed to get through it. But the Fieldhouse changed everything for us. It was a place that we could really call home for the first time. It was a world-class facility, honestly, that we use for practices, and we have our offices there. Obviously, we play all of our games, our home games there. But it's just an unbelievable space between the training room, the weight room, the locker room. It's just a great place for us and our players to call home and go to work to every day with an eye on development and improvement.
Another thing that's happened during your time with the 76ers is that the general state of the team itself is totally different, where the NBA might have been the setting for young guys coming in to get their professional reps before, but over the last 2 years, that's a completely different deal. Have you found that even the ascent of the team at the NBA level, that's, you know, stoked excitement for guys who are part of the Blue Coats, knowing that they are that close to, like, let's say, 40-some miles or 45-minute drive away from an NBA team that's reached this level?
Look, it's winning is fun, and it's fun to be a part of a winning program, no matter kind of what role you have or where you fall, whether it's you're on the Sixers roster, two-way guy, Blue Coats roster, or even any of the staff associated with either club. I think winning is fun, and to be around a successful program like we have been for the first few years, I think is just an enjoyable experience for all of us.
As we start to wrap this up, I wanted to just touch upon and close the book on a few things and storylines from the Blue Coat season last year. First year for you, also first year for your head coach, Connor Johnson, who was a part of Brett Brown's staff for several seasons. How did that help the synergy that existed just in general? And the fact that I shouldn't discount this, that you worked with Elton, under Elton,
right,
for his year as general manager of the Blue Coats.
Yeah, I think with Elton and myself and Connor, you know, we've been familiar with each other for a few years now, having worked in this organization in different roles. So I think for me and Connor specifically, as two relatively young guys, to kind of step into these roles that and opportunities that we're really excited about. You know, we always have a bunch of ideas that we're throwing off of each other, and we're able to kind of implement during the season as the first time kind of running our own team. So we were both kind of really excited going into last year, and you know, I think it helped our partnership a lot, just knowing how committed we were to kind of building a successful program.
What did you learn about Zaire Smith last year?
A lot. Z's a great kid. We really enjoyed having him down in Delaware for his assignments. If I had to pick one thing, it's just that he just lives and breathes basketball. His work habits are unbelievable, and to see kind of the drive that he had to come off of injury and get back into playing shape was really impressive. And honestly, being a young guy coming down, you know, and I think all of our team in Delaware was at least a couple years older than him, so to come down and even have those guys take note of how hard he was attacking his rehab and his return to play was, you know, was impressive.
See, I can't help but notice that you started to smile when you're thinking about Zaire Smith. And it's funny because I talked to a few guys on the Blue Coats roster, and they said that his sense of humor is a very underrated aspect of his personality.
Because
when we talk to him in the media, it's very businesslike. Yes, sir. No, sir. He's extremely buttoned up in a very polite way. But people talk about his sense of humor.
Oh, Z's a funny kid, man. It's not the overt over the top joking around. It's just that he'll just hit you with these little one-liners every once in a while that make you think and make you crack a smile.
Of course, lasting impressions are one thing, but it's something to build upon as well. But how do you think Shake Milton wrapped up the year last year?
I think Shake's progression over the course of last season was one of, if not our biggest success last year. just to see him handle multiple roles for us. Sometimes he was off the ball, sometimes he was on the ball, and to really kind of take a leadership role of the team in Delaware, which is hard when you're not there all the time. You know, he's spending time in Philly with the Sixers, and then coming down to Delaware where he's our guy. So I have a lot of respect for Shake and what he was able to do last year. And honestly, as a basketball player, I think his future is very, very bright.
I got down there for a couple games, but it seemed like one overarching theme was guys got better last year. You know, we could talk about a Shake Milton. We could talk about Haywood Highsmith, a Maryland man, man out of Maryland, yep. Who got his two-way contract, someone like a Norvell Pell doing yep. what he did. Guys seem to get better.
No, we had a relatively young group, but I think we had a group of guys that were hungry to get better and a coaching staff that was committed to helping them do that. So some of the names you mentioned, Norvell Pell, significantly better at the end of the year than the beginning of the year. I think finished second or third in Defensive Player of the Year, second or third in Most Improved Player. Matt Farrell, a guy that got a lot better over the course of the season, especially his three-point shooting. Jared Brownridge, a guy that ended up number two all-time in single-season made threes last year. So I think there are definitely a bunch of instances for guys we can point to over last season, and I think that's a big credit to our guys for being hungry and being willing to put the work in, and to our coaching staff for being right there in the gym with them.
Good stuff from Matt Lilly, general manager for the Delaware Bluecoats, which, by the way, premium tickets for some home games on sale now, sixers.com/bluecoats. Go there and check out the dates and the details. Matt, best of luck in this pre-draft season and beyond.
Perfect. Thanks, Brian.
Matt Lilly heading into season number two as general manager of the Delaware Bluecoats. And as we mentioned just then, six premium home dates have been announced for the 2019-20 Delaware Bluecoats schedule. Go to sixers.com/bluecoats for all the latest information. Big thanks to Matt Lilly for taking the time to chat. Thanks to Dylan Windler as well. And thank you, as always, for listening. I have a couple more episodes, I do believe, at least one early next week, getting you set for draft night 2019 as the 76ers look ahead with five picks in hand on June 20th. Talk to you then. See you.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.